Good morning, everyone. I want to acknowledge those who will be listening to the message later on when we post it to our website. Thank you for taking time to listen to the message in the comfort of your home. We pray that you will be richly blessed by God. Every spring, a beautiful experience turns into something tragic for people who live near mountainous regions. The tragedy begins when deep mounds of snow start to thaw and torrential spring rains begin to fall, causing massive avalanches and mudslides. The beautiful, colorful rivers, often the source of commerce and beauty for a city, swell and overflow their banks, causing massive flooding and damage to property. Beautiful hamlets and villages that once housed and harbored life are now threatened by death due to the flooding rivers. Some residents flee their homes if possible, but if not, they hang in there and hope to survive the flood. Year after year, the springtime becomes a time of mass destruction. Who knew that the beautiful rivers, so enjoyable in the summer and four seasons, could unleash so much catastrophe and untold catastrophe? Untold calamity. Since love is a lot like a river, it is essential for life, and there is nothing more beautiful than the expression of love. However, love must remain within its banks of truth on one side, and discernment on the other. And that's the message that John puts across to us in his letters. This morning, we are going to continue with our Keeping It Real sermon series, exploring the last message in the second letter of John to the chosen lady and her children, whom some theological scholars believe is a personification of the church. Either way, it does not change the meaning and relevance of the letter to the contemporary church. So far, we have gleaned quite a few lessons for life and godliness from the first letter of John, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, and the first few verses of 2 John, where John admonishes the church to strike a balance between walking in truth and walking in love. Today, we close the book looking at John's warning to the church to guard against false teachers by walking in discernment. In a message entitled, Beware of Deceivers. Beware of Deceivers, also known as imposters or perverters of truth, coming from 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 2:11. So if you have your Bible, please turn with me to 2 John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 7 to 11. One of the many stumbling blocks to Christians or Christianity in general is the influx of deceivers who, through subtle deception, blur and twist the truth about Jesus and the kingdom of God in order to deceive many people. They are on a mission. Watch out. Beware of them, John says. So if you found 2 John chapter 1, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. We're going to read verses 7 to 11. The Bible says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive such a one into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets and encourages such people shares in their evil deeds. He or she becomes a partaker of their evil deeds." May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word this morning. Let's pray together. God, our Father in heaven, we humbly come before you today to listen to your word. We ask that Holy Spirit, you may speak to us. May our minds be alert. May our hearts be receptive. Help us, Lord Jesus, to apply this word in our lives, to live it out to the glory of your great name. I pray for ease of speech and clarity of thoughts. May the words of my mouth be acceptable and honorable before you, together with our meditation on this passage of Scripture. O Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. In your name, Jesus, we have prayed, and somebody said amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I read a story about a well-built-up man seeing an advertisement for a job at the zoo. When he went there to inquire, he was horrified to learn that the only job they had open was for somebody to play the part of a monkey. A lot of children were coming in the next few days, and the zoo, having no monkeys, needed someone to impersonate one. Since money was tight, the man decided he would take the job. He arrived before sunrise, got into the monkey outfit, and slipped into his cage. Finally, day dawned, and the children came. All he had to do was thoughtfully pace the floor, look rather adept at swinging between trees, and eat the peanuts and bananas whenever they were fed to him. After 8 or 10 hours, he became thoroughly exhausted. The bananas were getting the better part of him. As he swung from one tree to another, rather nauseated, he slipped and fell into the lion's den next door. He shouted, "Help! Please!
please help.
The lion leaned over and said, if you don't shut up, we will both lose our jobs. They were all acting, both the lion and the monkey. In a world full of imposters, actors, deception, misinformation, disinformation, influence operations, false advertising, counterfeit goods, artificial intelligence, which means operations which refer to simulation of human intelligence in machines that are programmed to think like humans, mimicking their emotions and actions. We are now subjected to virtual reality, replicated by computers for deception purposes. In such a world, forces of darkness are always trying to muzzle the voice of truth and reason in order to promote fake, alternative, man-made, artificial realities. I hope we all realize that in such a world, things are not always as they seem to look, at least to an average person, which calls for discernment, close examination, and testing of every spirit, every ideology and theology, every claim of truth, every report, breaking news, news headlines, examining both motive and intent. Everything must be subjected to logic, common sense, and spiritual discernment. How many know that that brain that you have is a gift from God? The last time I checked, it's not a decoration. Use it. And if somebody is trying to make you not use your brain, they are trying to brainwash you. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 says that, get wisdom, but in all you're getting, get understanding. That means wisdom, the right application of knowledge. Understanding refers to insight, deep understanding, an ability to understand the times we live in, and then apply the wisdom that you learned, the knowledge that you have from the Word of God. So God expects you not to bypass your brain and go to the Holy Spirit straight. No, use your brain, and the Holy Spirit will do what you can do. Since this fallen world is full of spiritual darkness, evil, deceptions, counterfeit, corrupt teaching, and deceiving spirits, we need to be watchful, guarding against false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, false believers, and deceivers among us who have gone out into the world deceiving and being deceived. So they're not only found in the church, they're also found in the marketplace, in the public square, in politics, in education. You find these deceivers everywhere. You see, saints, the early church faced false prophets as well. They faced false teachers and deceivers from within and from outside the church. First, there were the Judaizers, who held that Gentiles who did not observe Jewish rituals could not be Christians. they insisted that Gentile believers observe the Mosaic law, especially circumcision, in order to be saved. This was resolved, thankfully, by the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And that was in AD 50. And then there were other false apostles who specialized themselves in attacking Paul's teaching and questioned his credibility and apostolic authority. Then there were the Nicolaitans, which means followers of Nicholas. A sect mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 15, whose deeds were strongly condemned as identical with the doctrine of Balaam. They taught that it was unlawful to eat things sacrificed to idols. They taught that it was lawful, not unlawful. It was lawful to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication in opposition to the truth that was being taught about Christ. So in John's day, many false teachers blended Eastern mysticism and Gnostic dualism, which taught that the spirit is good and the flesh matter is evil. Therefore, the reason that Jesus could not have been both God and man, and that he did not actually come in the flesh, but just seemed to have a body to die on the cross. They also taught that because flesh does not matter, you can do anything you want with the flesh, and the spirit will be untouched because they are separate. So you can sin, you can sleep around, and do sinful acts in the body, and it will not affect your salvation. That was a wrong teaching. They also taught that to be saved, you needed some special knowledge, and that if God was truly good, he could not have created the material universe, and therefore, some lesser God, small g, had to have created it. John would not put up with this heretical teaching. He urged the church to hold on to that truth. The truth that Jesus came in the flesh and died as a ransom for our sins. Fully God and fully man. He wanted them to guard against deception. And the best way to do that would be to arm themselves with the truth from the Word of God, which they did teach about Christ. Earlier, John warns the church about false teachers in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, which says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. But the question is, who are these deceivers today that John is referring to? First of all, we all know our enemy, Satan, the devil, a liar and deceiver, an accuser of the brethren, is behind the efforts of false teachers who seek to deceive and mislead the masses. He is the master of deception. For example, in the Garden of Eden, Satan deceived Eve when he said to her, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Very subtle. You find that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 5, not on PowerPoint. Satan twisted God's word and lied to Eve, countering God's instructions not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and also about the consequences of disobedience. Many people whom Satan deceives become his agents and spreading his lies around the world, in and outside the church. In the parable of the wheat and tares, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 38 to 39, also not on PowerPoint, Jesus says, "The field is the world, and the weeds, tares, are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them into the world is the devil." Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." Find that in John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus also called the religious leaders in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, synagogues of Satan. Synagogues or temples of Satan. So Satan uses family, friends, neighbors, fake pastors, religious leaders, co-workers, those in authority, those we love, respect, and trust to deceive. Satan also uses false believers, false teachers, counterfeit Christians, imposters, and carnal believers to attack the church from within and from without. These charlatans compromise, twist, misrepresent God's word. As a result, mislead many into believing a lie. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 warns, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, which are based on human tradition and the tradition or the spiritual forces of the world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form." Today, false teachers say all religions lead to God, and that Jesus is not only the way to God, because there are many ways to God. They also say that everyone knows there is a God, and that this knowledge is enough even if you know nothing about Christ. Contrary to what the Bible says. Because the Bible says there's no name given on earth where man should be saved, except for the name of Jesus. He said himself, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So this teaching is wrong. They also say that God will not send anyone to hell because he's a God of love and mercy. Because his mercy wins over his justice. Liberal, postmodern, and progressive theologies that water down the person of Jesus and his teaching have infiltrated our pulpits and platforms. For example, universalism, or the gospel of inclusion, which teach that all humankind will eventually be saved because Christ atoned for everyone's sins. This is deception, because the condition for salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, we are saved by grace, but you must believe the gospel and give your life to Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And finally, hypergrace, a new teaching that emphasizes the grace of God to the exclusion of other vital teachings, such as repentance and confession of sin. This teaching perverts the grace of God into a license to sin. In fact, hypergrace teachers maintain that all sin, past, present, and future, has already been forgiven. So there is no need for a believer to ever confess it. Once saved, always saved, because your salvation is secure in Christ. That is deception. Because while your salvation is secure in Christ, you need to continue abiding in Christ, walking in light, in truth, and in love. Because if you don't, then your salvation is in question. Because these people in the early church were claiming to be Christians and religious leaders. But John calls them out for teaching wrong doctrine in the church. So all these teachings are good examples of mixing truth with error to deceive the masses into a spiritual stupor. So, we have dealt with being aware of false teachers because their methods are subtle and deceptive. They mix truth with error and mislead many. And then John adds, this is our only point that we have today. And I am going to land the plane. He continues by saying, do not participate in their deception and distortion of the gospel. The key word in that sentence is participate, being a partaker. Matthew 7, verse 15 to 16. In there, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them. You will know them by their fruit. John says in our text, watch out, because many deceivers have gone out into the world. If anyone comes to you and does not teach that Christ has come in the flesh, is a false teacher. Do not provide hospitality to them or support their ministries. John continues to say, do not take them into your house or welcome them. If you welcome a heretic, if you treat and acknowledge them as being Christian, listen to their teachings and obey their teachings, you participate in their evil. In a time when there were no comfortable hotels or inns, travelers were often accommodated in homes. So the early church made a practice of supporting traveling ministers with gifts and hospitality. But since false teachers also relied on this hospitality, John urged his readers to show discernment and refrain from supporting traveling teachers who did not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. So, while you are supposed to love others, while you are supposed to walk in love, walk in truth, and be discerning, John is saying that you don't need to show that kind of hospitality and love to people that don't teach the truth. So love, beloved, needs truth to exist within its boundaries. But also, in the way you show love, you need discernment, because you could be deceived in what you're doing. So, here's my last question this morning. What does this mean? What is John trying to say here? It means you can't love, you can't encourage or support contemporary deceivers, such as self-help religions like the Scientology, JWs, Mormon faith, Catholicism, the health and wealth gospel, demonic antichrist cults on YouTube. These are deceiving because they are called Christian cults. This includes some false religious social media influencers and celebrities who participate in Luciferian satanic worship for power, influence, and money, and pretend to be the enlightened ones who should be held as role models for our society and our kids. They appear in every ad, promoting shoes, promoting products in the name of their influence that they have as celebrities, sports stars. All these people that influence our kids, and yet they lead a life that is despicable. Watch out for these deceivers and separate yourselves from them. Don't subscribe to their podcasts. Don't send your money to them. Don't buy their books or build their profiles by viewing or listening to their teachings on YouTube and social media. John says if we do, we are participating in their evil teaching and that we are in danger of losing our reward. So it's not only them who are going to lose the reward because of the gospel that they have shared with us and we have lost it, but we will also lose our reward. In closing, Romans chapter 16 verse 17 says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. And here is the key phrase in verse 17. Avoid them. Avoid them. Verse 18. For such persons do not save our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. They deceive the hearts of the naive, the immature. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for your word. Our prayer is that as this seed of your word is planted in us, it will germinate, grow, and bear much fruit, lasting fruit, to the glory of your great name. Help us not to be naive, to be mature, so we can fall in the hands of deceivers. But we pray that you may help us to grow, to mature in the things of God and in your word, so that we may discern the works of the enemy, we may discern the false teachers and hold them accountable. Help us, Lord Jesus, to do all this while walking in love, in truth, and in discernment. We thank you for this word. May it accomplish the mission for which you sent it for. Bless and edify your church. Build us up into the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and we honor you. In your name, Jesus, we have prayed. And somebody in the house said amen.